Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
So let's just take a minute to just, Father, we just welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. We thank you for the worship that went forward this morning. Father, you were here in our midst. Father, I ask that you would be in the service, that you would anoint hearts, that you would anoint minds, that you would give us a passion and desire for you. Father, we dedicate this service to you, Father God. We honor you. You are welcome in this place. Move upon our hearts now. In the name of Jesus, amen.
God is so good. He is so wonderful. He is so faithful. And that is our message this morning. It's going to be brief. It's going to be a message on how God is faithful and what our response to God's faithfulness should be. Because if God is faithful to me, then it only makes sense that I should be faithful to God. And what we're going to talk about a little bit, what does that look like? And, you know, one of the attributes of someone who is faithful is they're not just faithful in the good times. You know, it's great, you know, you've heard so many stories. I heard a story not long ago about a woman who was engaged, a young girl who was engaged to a man who got in a terrible, terrible accident, and his parents had went to her and said, You don't have to marry him. She said, I made a commitment. I made a promise, and I'm gonna keep that promise. And that sometimes faithfulness requires us to do hard things. And I like to say it like this: the hard thing and the right thing are often the very same thing. You know, faithfulness is not me just loving somebody because they send me candy and flowers and they say wonderful, wonderful things about me. Those kind of people, it's easy to be faithful to. And for God to be faithful to us was a hard thing for him to do, wasn't it? Because he had to send his son to die on the cross so that he could save me. So he is forever faithful, and he's faithful when we're unfaithful. How many times, I guess we have to ask ourselves the question, how many times have I been unfaithful to God? Meaning, I decided I'm not going to do it your way, God. I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. We have been so unfaithful, but God is still faithful to us. Let me read to you a verse, 2 Timothy 2 and 13. Here's what it says. If we are faithless, if we don't have faith and we aren't faithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He's always going to be faithful. That's never the question, is God faithful? And he's a father, and fathers are faithful. They're known for faithfulness, for protecting families and loving their families. We told you once a story, and it actually, 1988 is not that long ago for me. Some of you probably didn't exist, but for me, 1988 was not that long ago. And there was an earthquake in Armenia, and there was a school that was damaged, and the building was on top of the children. I mean, crumbled, but on top of the children. And the parents were standing around weeping and crying, they're dead, they're dead, they're dead. And there was one father who had every day told his son, wherever you're at, I'm going to get to you. I'm going to be there. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you in your time of trouble. He ran to the school and he picked up a rock and he started digging and digging and digging beneath the rubble. And they're saying, you can't get to him. You can't get to him. They're too far deep. And he kept digging. His hands were bleeding. He kept digging and digging. And finally, you could hear the cry of the children beneath him. And he kept digging. And then others, because of his faithfulness, other people began to dig too. Let's dig together. Let's get these people. Let's save these people because of one faithful father. Because of one faithful father in heaven, he saved us. Now, here's the thing. God is going to dig you out of any pit that you're in, no matter how deep, no matter how much rubble's on you. 14 other children were saved that day. How many children will be saved if we become faithful fathers, faithful mothers, and faithful to God and his word? So we're going to be sharing about that. I'm going to read one more verse, and Pastor Ken's going to take it from here. Psalm 119 and 90. Your faithfulness, O God, endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. The earth is not going anywhere because God is faithful.
Wow. You know, there's times when you're in prayer or when you're worshiping and you feel the presence of God, and whenever you have an opportunity to step into heaven, step in, and here's the thing. It's kind of like a roller coaster ride where you lose your stomach a little bit and you go, oh. To me, it's like that. There's almost, I better not go in there too deep because this is too much for my emotions. If I go further into God, I'm going to start crying. If I go further into God, I'm just going to lose it. But that's where you don't want to hold back, especially when that door opens. And I just felt that there was such a door open. And to me, the worship this morning just sounded so clear. And I was just thinking, you know, you open your eyes and you just see the church. But when Willie was singing Dark Star, my eyes were closed and I was just imagining this bright star that is Jesus Christ. He is the Revelation says he is the bright and the morning star. And how bright and how brilliant are against the background of the universe. And Frida, when you were singing, I was thinking, if Frida knew what was happening right now, she'd probably be too nervous to keep singing. Because it looked like you were singing that beautiful song. And I love those words. It always gets me. I keep fighting voices. And I love that those words that I will never measure up, because I think we all feel that way, that I'm not going to measure up. But as you were singing, Frida, and I know I've said this before, but it's such a cool thought, because I believe it's true, that God loves praise. And imagine, Frida, if just as you started singing, there was an announcement in heaven, everyone be quiet. Now singing Frida. And imagine that our worship, that you were singing to all of heaven. You know, the angels are waving their iPhones in the air, but that when we pray, we're connecting to heaven. When we worship, we're not worshiping these chairs. That clarity, that we were broadcasting. We're broadcasting into the throne room. So good job, Frida. You sang to all of heaven today, and so did the worship team. And by the way, it's not just the singers. I always talk about the singers. The musicians today were outstanding. That I was listening to the arrangement and going, wow, that is, the musicians are amazing. Because sometimes I go to churches or listen to churches and I think, ooh, ouch. But it doesn't matter when it's worship. Because when we came back from Mexico, and I've told this before, but it's just absolutely true. The guitar player, I was watching him and it was driving me crazy because he was hitting the wrong chords about 75% of the time. And the singers, Spanish chords. No, they were the wrong chords, believe me. And the singer that they had, why, I don't even know how they did not audition the singer to go, you're going to be the singer, because the singer was so off key and the guitar player was playing the wrong chords. And there was such an anointing to the whole thing. That mess that me as a musician saying, wrong, God was saying, oh, this is so beautiful. It's like the children's drawing that you put on a refrigerator. You know, it's not a great drawing, but it's your drawing. It's the kid's drawing, and you're proud. And that's our worship. So I did feel the presence of God today, and I believe that when we come to church, we're not only receiving from God, but we're sending. It's a two-way street. I love the thought that the Bible is a mirror, that you look at when you look at it, you see yourself, right? But it's also a telescope that lets you see right into the camera, that lets you see right into the throne room. So I guess I should get, I'm sorry, Pam, I get to the faithfulness. I love faithfulness. God is so faithful, and he always has been. You are the people of God. And you are my brother, and you are my sister. We are brothers and sisters one to another. And we are commanded to love one another. We are in the family of God. You do belong to God. You're not trying to belong to God. And I know you've heard this 1,000 times, but it's such a powerful thought. There is nothing you can do to make God love you anymore or any less. It's paid for, church. It has been paid for. Frida, I don't measure up. I hear it. You don't measure up, Pastor Ken. But it's paid for by the blood of Jesus. All those faults, all those areas of your life, every time you've fallen, it's paid for by a Father that loves you. You don't earn it. By a Father that loves you. Boy, it's true. We don't deserve it. And we all are going to have to plead guilty, but praise God, not guilty due to the blood of Jesus. Due to the blood of Jesus. So he is yours, and you are his, and God has complete faithfulness to you. Wow, has he been faithful to you? And here's the thing about it. Whenever people do accuse God, let's really think about what God has done to prove himself to us. He sent his only son to die for us. How much more does he have to prove that he loves you? You know, it's that old saying, and I love it. It was, I asked God, how much do you love me? And he said, this much, and stretched out his arms and died. So here's two scriptures. Exodus 34:6. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, is slow to anger. He abounds in love and faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know that the Lord your God, that's powerful, the Lord your God is God. Yes, he is. He is faithful. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant and promises of law to 1,000 generations. All right, Pam, this is yours. But faithfulness to God matters. It matters. It causes God to smile.
It absolutely does matter. That scripture I love says that in Deuteronomy, that says his covenant is of love to 1,000 generations. Love is what motivates faithfulness, by the way. If you love someone, you'll be faithful. They go together, by the way, love and faithfulness. You know, and the reason that I like that it says to 1,000 generations, why does it matter if God's faithful to 1,000 generations? I'm not going to be around for 1,000 generations. Come on, people. Let me tell you why it matters, because some people say they're faithful and they're only faithful for a day, a week, a month, a year, 2 years, but God is faithful through all generations. It does matter. I'm so glad that's in the world, in the Word of God. And you know something interesting? You know, well, what does faithfulness look like? Sometimes it just means showing up. Sometimes it means just not leaving, just staying in the game, just staying steady. You know, I'd like to say it like this. The earth may fall apart, but God will still be faithful. Absolutely. You may fall apart, but God will still be faithful to you. And faithfulness and love do go together. A man is faithful to his wife if he loves his wife. If someone's unfaithful, he's not motivated by love, but another type of spirit. And the reason that a wife is faithful to her husband is because she loves him. Even in the hard times, you have to be faithful. I mean, I could be totally upset with Brother Dave over here, as crazy as it may sound, that probably never happened in a million years, but I could be totally upset with him, suppose, and I'm still going to cook, right? The roast is still in the crock pot. You know, me being all mad, him being doing whatever he did that was so bad, I'm still cooking. That's called faithfulness. He could be so mad at me. I didn't do this. I didn't write that bill out or whatever, but he's still coming home from work. He's still showing up. That's what faithfulness is, right? Because we can't just say, well, I'm going to be faithful. Watch this. Let me tell you something else. You can be so upset that God didn't do what you expected him to do. You can be so upset, I don't understand why God didn't do that, but you still must be faithful to God and not put your tongue against it, even when you don't understand. So faithfulness requires faith in God and trust in God, complete confidence in him and in one another. And faithfulness actually has a reward. And I want to show you this. I really want you to get this. Matthew 25, 21 says, his master, this Jesus, said to him, well done, thy good and tongue-talking servant. No, pew-jumping Christian. It says faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. Now watch this. Watch this. You've been faithful over the little things I gave you to do. I will now set you over a lot. Enter into the joy of your master. This should be our life pursuit, to be faithful to God, to love, honor, and obey him at all times, to show up, to obey his commands, because the person who is faithful in a little, do you want to get ahead in the kingdom of God? Do you want God to use you for something special and great? You really, I mean, you want God to do something phenomenal in your life? Keep doing what you're doing right now. I know that sounds crazy, but keep being faithful. Keep showing up for Sunday service. Keep doing. God promotes you. Man doesn't promote you. Promotion comes from God. And so be faithful to your family. Be faithful to your spouse. Be faithful to your church. Be faithful to that small ministry of three people, that small. Do you know that Ann Graham Lotz started? Do you know how she started? Not with a name, because back in her day, they didn't use women. She started with a little Bible study in her home. She did not live off of her father. There were people that didn't even know who she was. And they came because she was faithful. She kept doing it. Let me tell you about God's faithfulness. Joshua 21 and 45. Not one of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Not one, every one was fulfilled. Let me tell you, when God promises something, he is faithful to his word. Can I say that one of the most important things for you to do if you're going to be a faithful man and woman to God and to others is to keep your word. If you tell somebody that you're going to meet them at a certain time, honey, you need to be early. You need to be ready to meet them before they get there. And let me tell you why that's important. God was such a faithful God, and people told me this years ago, said, oh, isn't it wonderful that when the three Hebrew children, they got in the fiery furnace, and then Jesus stepped in. And I said, excuse me? Jesus never stepped in no fiery furnace. Jesus was faithful. He was already in the fiery furnace, or you would have, three of you, been burned alive. If Jesus hadn't been in that fire before you got there, you would have been consumed by it. If Jesus hadn't been taking care of your situation, your marriage, your life, and he hadn't been there ahead of you, you would have never made it out of that situation. You would have been drowned. If Jesus hadn't been in your boat before the storm hit, the storm would have taken you out. I heard a woman talking about this, and I know I'm going to give this back to Pastor Gunn. I heard a woman talking about this recently in the hurricane in Florida, said, I asked God to come into my house. She was the only woman on the city block who still has her house because Jesus was already in her house before the hurricane hit her house. Now, I love that story. And that applies to our life. So we need to know that Jesus is faithful and respond to that in faithfulness so that when I get in a situation, I'm going to be okay. I keep saying to myself every day, God, you're faithful. God, you're faithful. I've asked you for some things and you haven't done them, God. You have not done what I ask you to do. That means nothing. That means zero to God. I don't know that God's not about to do what I ask him to do tomorrow. He is working behind the scenes on your behalf. Each and every one of you have situations, and you're counting on the faithfulness of God. And if you are, you're doing the right thing.
I agree. If you're doing the right thing, just be faithful to keep doing it. Don't dig up the seed that you planted, in other words. Yep. You know, just be patient. Right. Be patient with God. And, you know, as I ask God to bless my plans, he always, you know, whenever I say God, because I always give God suggestions, you know, this is how I think this should work, you know. And I always feel like the Holy Spirit is saying to me, would you give me permission to be the architect? Would you let me write the plans? Because do you honestly think that you or I could make better plans than God could? God is the master planner. He's the master builder and designer. So we need to say your will be done for whatever that situation is. We just have to be faithful. We just have to be faithful. You know that trees that are planted by water, their roots can drink from the river. And even if you were in a place with no rain, if you were a tree planted by water, you could freely drink from the water. And that's the picture of our life, is that you might be going through a desert place in your life, but if you're a tree planted by a water, there's a secret place. You have roots that go, that are hidden, that the world can't see. They go to a place that the world can't see. They go to heaven, and where the river of life is. And here's our small church. You know, you might say, well, I'm disappointed that our church isn't 4,000 people. Who says that our church is supposed to be 4,000 people? You know what I'm saying? Who says that a lighthouse has to be a certain size? You know, you might say, I don't like the size of that lighthouse. But it doesn't matter. The lighthouse, if it's supposed to be there, it needs to stay there. And God has not called us to success the way the world measures success. You know, that, if you're looking at your bank account saying you're successful, if that's the measure of it, maybe you haven't, or if you're looking at your bank account saying I'm not successful, or if you're looking at the fact that your name isn't known by men. But what if your name is known in heaven? I mean, as I was closing my eyes and listening to the music, I heard Erica sing. I didn't see Erica. I did not see her with my eyes. But I knew it was her. So if I, just being me, could pick out who that was without seeing them, how much more does God know your voice? When you pray, God says, that's Vic. There's no question about it. First syllable, Vic checking in. God knows your voice, but he knows more. He knows your heart. And, of course, one of my favorite things is when Jesus answered them and they hadn't said anything. Bible says they were thinking, who is this woman? And doesn't Jesus know who she is? And, oh, Jesus is really not paying attention. And he answered them. I would like to respond to what you're thinking about. And Dave, be careful about the roast. Yeah, I wouldn't. That's a step of faith. Here's a powerful statement that's a simple statement. God is not mad at you. God is not holding a grudge against you. He's not even trying to teach you a lesson. I cannot think of any reason for any person in this room not to try to walk as close with God as you can. And walking with God includes having a God consciousness. Not forgetting God, right? Out of sight, out of mind, when you forget someone. And I've done it, you've done it too. You've gone hours, maybe even days, and realize, oh my goodness, I have been so out of touch with the kingdom of God because the cares of this world got in the way. But even the secret is, no matter how busy you are, no matter how much pressure you're under, you can always walk with a consciousness of God. As a matter of fact, when you are under pressure, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death. So it's those times that you are under pressure that you need to walk with the shepherd. You know, when you study Psalm 23, the shepherd has all these tools. You know, he's got this throwing thing that he can throw. He's got the rod. He's got the staff. And he can protect the sheep against wild animals as long as he's within throwing distance. As long as the sheep is was close to the shepherd. But if you're walking through the valley of death by yourself, you're a sheep. You're going to get tore up. But if you're walking with Jesus, you're in a tank. You are protected. So God is for you. Here's some other truths. God loves you. And yes, we do need a revelation of that. God likes you, as Pam says. God has not given up on you. How do I know that? If you're breathing, you still can be redeemed. You just, after someone stops breathing, they can no longer make a decision for Christ. They've already made their decision for Christ. But if you're falling out of a plane without a parachute, I have good news for you. You have some time. I don't know how much time. It depends on how high you fell out of. But if you're falling out of a window, it's time to pray. And my old pastor said, God has made salvation so easy. It's not complicated. If you'll just accept the Lord with your heart and say, He's my King. And it can be on your last day, but you can also reject Him on your last day. That's why, you know, the thing about waiting, I saw this comedy sketch where there's a bus stop and there's a 7-Eleven behind the bus stop and the person's waiting for the bus and they're getting thirsty. They're looking at the 7-Eleven and and they don't want to leave. They're finally so thirsty that they run into the 7-Eleven to get a drink and the bus comes. So now they're out there sitting, you know, now they got to go to the bathroom or whatever. They're sitting, and they run into the 7-Eleven. Here comes another bus. And I heard someone say once that God moves in the last 10 minutes of worship or the last 10 minutes of service. The people that stay faithful, I'm staying where I was planted. I'm a tree. I'm planted. I'm not moving all around chasing God or I'm planted. And in this church, which we have this little lighthouse, and what makes me the proudest of this church is behind me, the cross remains up. That Paul could come in this church and preach, and I wish we could invite him. We already know what he would preach on. How do you know, Pastor Ken, what Paul would preach on? Because he said, I was determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So it was like, this is the cross, part 98. Tomorrow will be 99, 100. He just preached on the cross. Like Brother Hagin is just like, today we're going to preach on Mark 11, 23, and 24. Have faith in God. He just said it all the time. And he acted like it was the first time we'd ever heard it. And we acted like it was the first time we ever heard it. Our Bibles, it was every time. I mean, I heard that man speak 200 times. And he said, let's go to Mark 11, 23. Have faith in God. It would have been just as effective to always go to 1 Corinthians 13 and talk about our love for God. And faithfulness to God, Pam, there can't be a better subject, a more important subject. I'm going to be faithful to God because I can't think of any reason not to. There's no reason not to. All right, I'm going to turn this back to Pam then.
That's so true. And your faith is going to be tested. I want to say something. I was sharing with my mom last night. A friend contacted me that I actually went to kindergarten with. And in the past year, she has lost her two brothers and her sister and her father. And she has lost her father-in-law and she's lost her nephew. She's lost five people. And she still loves God and she still trusts God. And she has questions. There's nothing wrong with questions about your situation. God, I don't understand this. Sometimes you can feel that God is distant, but I'm telling you, we don't walk by feelings. I can feel like I'm dying, but I just have the flu. Then again, I can actually drop over and didn't know anything, felt nothing at all. So we can't depend on our feelings. We can't go by our emotions. We need to submit our feelings and our emotions to God, to a faithful God. But I know it can feel, but the quick test to know if God is still faithful is, do you have a roof over your head today? Do you have some place to go home to today? And do you have food that you have in your cabinets that you could fix if you needed a bite to eat? I could ask you, did any of you at all get COVID in the past 2 to 3 years? You're still here. Therefore, I submit to you the faithfulness of God, of a God who loves you and is on your side. And He is faithful even when I am suffering. And He's faithful even when I have questions and don't understand. Not long ago, I was praying about a relationship that a person that is distant in relationship. Oh, God, how can this be? Why is this, God? Why is this? And I heard the clearest word I've ever heard from God. Because I am protecting you. I'm protecting you. You are wanting something that is going to harm you. Oh, God, why can't I have this person? Have you ever heard the song, I thank God for unanswered prayers? Now, God always answers prayer. But here's what He says. He says yes, or He says no, or He says later. But we call them unanswered prayers. When God don't do things my way, I thank God for prayers that I prayed that God said, no, that is not going to happen. And I trust him with those. When God told me that I'm protecting you, immediately something switched in my whole mentality about the entire situation. God, I'm trusting you. You're working behind the scenes. And if you tell me you're protecting you, I ain't going to make another move. I'm going to trust your faithfulness because I know he's faithful. That's what a father is. One of the greatest attributes of fathers is that they are faithful, that they provide for their families, that they protect their families. I know that when I was younger, I did not have to worry. I never one time went to my dad and said, do you have enough money to pay for food this week? I don't even know, have a clue what their mortgage was on that old long house. It might have been almost more than they could pay. I have no clue. I never ask about it. I never engaged in any conversations with him about, will we have food this week, Dad? I just need to know before I go off to school, to kindergarten today, I need to know, will there be food when I come home? And I never went to my mother and said, are you sure you're going to prepare the food if he's got food for us? Are you going to be it? But I'll say this, it required that my dad be faithful, right? It required to God first and then to our family. And it required that my mom be faithful to fix the food that he prepared. We have a part in faithfulness, don't we? And so we need to, our response to God's faithfulness is that we should be faithful, that God's made a covenant with us and it wasn't easy for him. And I'm so thankful that God is also faithful for something else. How many messes has God got you out of? Oh, I'm talking about in the past 20 minutes. You're thinking like in 1996. I'm talking about last week, yesterday. How many messes? Did God get you out of that mess? Did he come through for you? Well, then he's faithful, right? Because you couldn't have done it yourself. You didn't have any plan for. You didn't have any plans for how to pay that bill. You didn't even know how that bill was going to get paid. But God did, and God took care of it, and God helped you to even help yourself. And here's the thing. So many times we fail and we fall in the area of faithfulness too. But when we walk out on God, he never walks out on us. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. Do you know that you can be out of the presence of God but still in the presence of God? Because you're disconnected, but God is omnipresent. He is still present even when you are not present. When my mind, and I'll prove that to you, in a service like this, in a Christian service where we're worshiping God, you can be totally disconnected, thinking about, you know, I got to fix my car, I got to do this, and you are totally, you're not connecting, but God is still present here. The move of God is still here. He is still in this place, and so we need to be faithful to God, even in the hard times. That's the test of faith. You know, when we go through the worst of the worst, we still need to say, but God has been faithful to us all of these years. None of you here are, well, a couple of you over there in the back are kind of young. But I'm telling you, for the most part, the average age around here is 40, okay? So God has been faithful to you for the 40 years you spent in the desert. And if you're 85, you're 90, he's been faithful to you in the time of blessing too, in the land of Canaan and blessing. He is a faithful God no matter how we live our lives. But I want to be faithful to God. I want to hear those words, well done. And isn't that strange? How you could ask yourself today, how important is a message on faithfulness? Well, it's only important if you want to stand there while God says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He will not be saying, well done, thy good and unfaithful servant. I know you weren't faithful. Well done anyway. No. Well done, thy good and faithful. So if you want to hear those words, then this is an important message.
Okay, so if we're faithful, that means we're full of faith, right? But if we are not faithful, that makes us faithless because we have less faith. Luke 16:10, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. So we are called to be faithful in the little things that God has told us to do. So if we won't be faithful in the little, we wouldn't be faithful in the great. One of the ways that we can be faithful is to, I said to stay aware of God, not to forget God. If they have a thing where you can put your name on there. So I've had this watch for about 8 years. If I ever pass out, people are going to think my name is Jesus. But I cannot look at the time without seeing the word Jesus. You know, that was supposed to be my name, but I thought, well, I know my name. But so I don't know how many times I look at my watch a day, probably a lot. But again, I cannot look at the time without seeing right in the middle, Jesus. I'm not doing that to be religious. I'm doing that. I need reminders. I need to remember that I need to be thanking God. I want to be aware of God throughout the day and not go hours and hours. And so I don't do that. I try to stay aware of God because I know that even if I don't feel that he's near, I know that he's near. And he's especially near to those of us that are brokenhearted, those that are crying out to God. God, as I said, God knows your voice. Me and Pastor Pam had the privilege, my uncle, who was a minister, and that kind of ran in my family. You know, my dad was a minister. His younger brother, David, was a minister. Pam is a minister. You know, it's almost like I didn't know I would choose this, but I think that it was something in my heart. It's like at the time that I became a minister, I was a lawyer. And I had just started doing this day trading thing where I just started making money, where I was making like really good money. But when the thought came or the idea came that I could come and pastor a church, that took me about 0.1 seconds to say, if God opens a door, you just go to where God, you go to where God says, because that's exciting. Talking about, you know, as far as money goes, you are right now like a multi-billionaire, trillionaire. You realize that he has blessed you in heavenly places. That's Ephesians 1, with all blessings. But at the same time, you don't need even a dollar. You know, in heaven, God's provided everything for us. And the greatest thing is the peace and the joy that's going to just invade our life. We're not going to care anymore. No more greed. How amazing is that? No more sin. No more people being mean. No more heartache. No more heartbreak. And you say, I'm not going to be happy in heaven because God will wipe. I love that. My dad preached on that. That we're going to have broken hearts for those that weren't there. But the Bible says he'll wipe every tear from our eyes. And I believe that after we mourn for those, I believe that the joy of the Lord is going to, it's going to be so amazing. It's going to be so amazing. So when we were, me and Pam, I was starting to say that my uncle, who was a minister, when he was over 90, when we went to see him, he said he wanted to anoint us, and he laid hands on us. And, you know, that was real special to me and to Pam, that, you know, it was being passed on from my uncle. And I'm thinking in the Bible about the woman that anointed Jesus, how powerful that was. And then I'm thinking about David, that he's out in the field, and all of a sudden here comes the prophet of God and pours oil over his head. That's why, by the way, that happened. David got anointed before he ever fought Goliath. And that's where the courage comes in. It's like God says, I'm going to be king, and I'm not king. So I think I can, me and God can handle Goliath, because otherwise God's word would have failed. That's the only way Abraham would have been willing to sacrifice his son, because the New Testament explains it. Aren't you glad you got behind the scenes? Because it's like, how could a father do that? It's too much to think of that you would even be willing to do that. So the New Testament says behind the scenes what actually happened. And it explains it this way. Abraham had got a promise that through Isaac all the world would be blessed. And he realized that it had to be some sort of test, because the Bible says he was convinced in his heart that if he killed his son, that God would just raise him from the dead, because otherwise how could that promise come to be? So we're talking about you being called of God. Just like I was called of God and I was anointed and David was anointed. And you might say to yourself, I don't think I've ever been anointed. And oh, how wrong you are. First of all, I want you to remember something in your life. I want you to remember 4 seconds in your life It was the 4 seconds that happened immediately when you came up out of the water from being baptized. Do you remember that? Remember you were baptized? Remember you came up and there was something? Because I'm telling you from the New Testament that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus. He saw that. They saw the Holy Spirit descend so that we would know what happens. When you were baptized, that old person was left in that grave. It's a picture of you being resurrected and clean, right? You were dripping with water. That's a picture of you dripping with the oil of the Holy Spirit. And even when you were walking off the stage, you were leaving footprints because the anointing that was on you, that water that was on you, was being dripped. You was being carried. That oil that she put on Jesus, it was carried in her hair. You could smell that for days after that. The anointing is with you. And I want to read you. This is for you, and I'm not going to say anything else. This will be my end, but this is so powerful. It's from Ephesians, the first chapter, and it's your story. This is for you. God, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, and just at verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, it's hard not to stop there, that we should be holy and without blame, being before him in love, having been predestined to be adopted. It's hard not to stop there and talk about that. By Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, in the praise of the glory of his grace. And I said all that to tell you the last part of it, which says, you are accepted in the beloved. You're accepted in heaven. You ever feel like I'm not accepted? Frida, I keep hearing voices in my head that I'll never be enough, that I don't measure up. And Paul says in Ephesians, you are beloved and accepted by God and blessed with every blessing in the heavenly places. You are loved by him. I can think of no reason not for us to be passionate about our walk with him and deeply in love with Jesus. Amen. Love you. Love you all.
You're not just anointed, you're anointed and you're appointed to do the work of the Lord in the kingdom of God. You know, I think that it's so interesting. So many people will say, you know, well, this person has a special anointing, or this person has anointing to be a giant killer like David. We all have that same anointing. There's only one anointing. It's God's anointing. The same anointing that David had to kill Goliath, this anointing that you and I have. This, we're going to pray and take a time to worship, but you know, one of the things that I love is this, that I read a thing and it was so powerful to me. It said, David was truly strong and courageous for killing Goliath. He was truly anointed to kill Goliath, and it took courage to kill Goliath, but it took even more courage and anointing to not kill Saul. You know, he killed so many and he dealt with his enemies, but sometimes God gives us an anointing to do a work and to be a giant killer, and other times he gives us an anointing to keep our mouths shut and to keep quiet and to not say what we would like to say and do what we would like to do. But the anointing of God, when it is upon a person, you cannot deny it. You know that the anointing of God is there. And I say, if the same spirit that dwelled in Christ lives in you, it'll make you come alive. Your old life that you had, people will see that you're different, that there's new life in you. And I just want to say, if you have not seen the video of Sarah Jakes receiving the mantle from T.D. Jakes, Frida, oh my Lord in the heavens, the anointing and the power of God fell every time. My nephew Jonathan and I have listened to that video hundreds of times. We literally just go on and on and on and listen. Did you hear it again yesterday, Jay? Yes, I did. I played it again one more time because the anointing is attractive. The anointing of God. And when you carry the anointing, people are going to come to you. People are going to. And why do I want people to be attracted to me? Why? Why? Because I want them to feel free to come to me and say, tell me about Jesus. I love that song that Erica and them sing, Let Me Tell You About My Jesus. Because if they don't come to me to ask about my Jesus, I'm going to have to go to you and tell you about my Jesus. Because if you're not willing to ask, then I'm willing to come to you and tell you. I know you didn't ask me about my Jesus, but I'm going to tell you about my Jesus, because look what the Lord has done in our life. God has brought you this far. Do you know that as of this day, you have overcome 100% of the problems that you have faced in life? And I never needed to hear that any more than I did this morning. Trust me that He is still a faithful God, that He is still on the throne, that He's going to see us through, that He's going to be with us till the end. And that means you. He's going to be with you. He's going to raise you up again when you're flat on your face on the ground. When you've cried all night long and you don't even have another tear left, God is still faithful. And I am so thankful for that. Let's stand to our feet and let's thank Him for His faithfulness. At least we can do that, right? Can we just take 1 minute to thank Him for His faithfulness, even if we're in a hard situation right now? Even if you're between a rock and a hard place, thank God that Jesus is the rock. Thank God that Jesus is the rock for your hard place. Because that's what it means when you're between a rock and a hard place. You got the rock for the hard place. Father, we thank You, Jesus. We thank You for Your faithfulness, oh God. You have been faithful to 1,000 generations, to our children, and You will be faithful to our children and our children's children. When I no longer have the breath of life in me, Father God, and I've crossed over, I know that my children's 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 children are safe in Your hands, Father God. Lord, help us to be faithful in every area of our life. Help us to be faithful with our church attendance, with our love for one another, with our forgiveness, Father, for one another. Help us to be faithful in our finances, Father God, to tithe and do what You ask us to do, Father God. Help us to be faithful, Father God, in whatever ministry You give us, Father God. And let us not seek the healing, but the healer. Let us not seek the ministry, but You, Jesus. Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. You have been so good to us, Lord. Father God, You put food on the table. You help us pay our bills every single week, Father God. You help us make decisions that are right decisions, Father God. And You're our rear guard, Father God. And Father God, as I study that, it means you go behind us, like in Isaiah, and You say, I will whisper, walk this way. I will tell you whether to go to the right. I will tell you whether to go to the left. And that's the way You're to go. Sometimes I don't know how I made it this far, but I realize You've been whispering in my ear all my life, Father God. You've been saying, do this and do that and don't do this and walk this way. Come over here. Come closer to me. Call that person. Don't call that person. Father God, You have been that faithful. The very least that I can do is say thank You. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Let me not make one wrong move. Father God, I just feel in my spirit that there are people that may be ready to make wrong moves. Father God, don't let it happen. Father God, let us do the right thing all the time. Father God, don't let us get off the path. Father God, pull us back, Father. Draw us back to You by Your anointing and Your power, and we will give You the praise forevermore. Father, we worship You. We thank You, Lord, that You are forever faithful. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. And thank Him. Think of the many times when He bailed you out, when He got you out of the mess that you were in, that you caused yourself. Just begin to think about it and praise Him.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian fellowship church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.